Hello, and welcome to Penrith Methodist Church Online, this fourth Sunday in the season of Epiphany. More about that later. My name is Bill Wright, and I'm a local preacher in Penrith Methodist Circuit. And we hope that wherever you're joining us from this morning, be it from our local congregation or as a visitor, you'll feel at home and experience something of the love of God in our worship this morning. Before we have our first hymn, I want to read something from the Bible, from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians in chapter 2, where he describes the nature of Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. This is the God that we adore. This is the God we're coming to worship this morning. And so for our first hymn, I've chosen a favourite, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And the words will appear on the screen so you can join in too. Wasn't that wonderful? Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. A wonderful sound of singing in the cathedral. We look forward to the time in the future when we can sing God's praises like that in church again. In the Methodist Church, we don't make much of the season of Epiphany. Epiphany means it's a manifestation or it's a revealing of something. And the Feast of Epiphany is on January the 6th. And it celebrates Jesus' baptism, when God acknowledged Jesus as his son, and also the visit of the Magi, the wise men, to Jesus, when Jesus was revealed to the Gentile world. Today is the fourth Sunday in the season of Epiphany, and the Gospel reading tells us about the authority of Jesus, about his healing and his teaching ministry, and the authority that he shows in that ministry. Christmas reveals a baby being born, sent from God. Epiphany reveals the man whose ministry and death and resurrection will change the world forever. By the way, I'm not that clever to know all of that. I got that much of that from Nick Price's new book, Christmas Tradition, Truth and Total Baubles. I just wonder now, will you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Loving God, we remember today that from the beginning, the good news of Jesus was not for just the few, but for all. You've made it known to shepherds, ordinary people getting on with their work, their daily life, not expecting to be given the special honour of representing your chosen nation. You made it known to wise men from the east, men who were strangers living far away in a different country, not knowing about you and regarded as outsiders, Gentiles. Loving God, this symbolises for us that there is no one outside your love. The message and truth it contains is for everyone and transcends all barriers. You brought light into the whole world, and that light continues to shine despite opposition, persecution and rejection by so many. Yet you have caused your light to shine in our hearts. Help us to walk in your light and share that light with those around us in the hope that they too may choose to walk with you. Loving God, you guided shepherds and wise men to offering a light to their path, and they responded. You offer us guidance in many ways, the light of your word, the illumination of your Holy Spirit, the fellowship of your church. And yet so often we either fail to hear or refuse to see. We are so often preoccupied with our own circumstances, eyes for the immediate moment, and we fail to recognize when you are leading and calling us. We believe we know where we are going and how best to get there, and we resist any suggestion that we may need to think again. Loving God, forgive us our foolishness, our stubbornness, our weakness, our pride, lack of faith, or our closed minds. Meet us again, we ask, and may the light of your love shine in our hearts so that we cannot but see or fail to respond in grateful praise and joyful service. Gracious Lord, have mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, time for another song, this time by Stuart Townend, The Lord's My Shepherd, I Will Not Want. And once again, the words will appear on the screen for you to join in and wake the neighbours up, should you wish. Let's sing, The Lord's My Shepherd, I Will Not Want.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in you. And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. He guides my ways in righteousness, and he
Today is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, reading from verses 21 to 28, and it's entitled, Jesus Heals a Man with an Unclean Spirit. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in there a synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be silent, and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee.
You've probably all seen the film Chariots of Fire, a film about Eric Liddell, a great athlete in the early 20th century. And in the film, he is quoted as saying, The kingdom of God is not a democracy. The Lord never seeks re-election. And looking at some of the events in politics in recent years and in recent weeks even, we can thank God for that. The Bible is full of stories about God's chosen people taking things into their own hands and doing things their way and getting things horribly wrong. Which story about the Hebrews in the desert and how Moses went up Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments. And down below, they got bored. They thought he wasn't coming back. and they persuaded Aaron to make a god out of gold, a golden calf, and they worshipped it. And when we look around in society, there's not a lot has changed. Society has many gods that are followed slavishly. Some of those gods are human. Some of them are metal, stone, and some are gods in people's imagination. And many have turned away from and do not know the one true God. In the readings for the season of Epiphany, we see Jesus being revealed to a waiting world as the Son of God. And in today's reading from Mark's Gospel, Jesus' authority is revealed. You know, I remember a time when people in certain jobs were trusted by the very nature of their position. Bank managers, doctors, teachers, ministers of religion, even police officers, and sometimes politicians. I remember an advert back in the 1980s for British Telecom, Maureen Lipman, speaking to her grandson on the telephone, saying how she'd baked him a cake to celebrate passing his exams. And the young man says, "But Grandma, I failed all my exams." She says, "You failed all your exams?" He says, "Well, I only passed pottery." She says, "Well, pottery, that's good, it's useful." And he says, and I passed sociology. "Anology." He's got anology and he says he's failed. We live in a cynical world now, don't we? We found out that people are flawed. They sometimes do things that are wrong. And the least trusted people in our country are politicians, and journalists are not much further behind. Jesus came into a world of false prophets, of Roman overlords, leaders trying to fill their own coffers working for the Romans. And they were paranoid that someone might upset the status quo. Jesus was already known in the area of Galilee as a preacher. After his cousin John was arrested, Mark tells us that Jesus came up into Galilee and began to proclaim the gospel. And his message was very similar to that of John's. He was saying, "The time has arrived, the kingdom of God is upon you. Repent and believe the gospel." And in the reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 21 onwards, Jesus arrives in Capernaum. Lynn and I were privileged to go to Capernaum some years ago, and we went into the ruins of the synagogue there. The building that stands now is a second century building, but it's built onto the foundations of the earlier synagogue that Jesus went into. And on the Sabbath, he goes into the synagogue and he begins to teach. Now, it's not unusual for somebody known as a preacher to teach and to speak in the synagogue. They had no permanent rabbi. There was no permanent preacher. It wasn't like a church where they have a minister. And most times it would be a scribe, priest possibly, or even a Pharisee who would teach. They were the literate ones. They were the ones who were the academics. But what was unusual was the way that Jesus taught. You see, the scribes, even the priests and the Pharisees would say, "As Moses said," and then they would say what Moses had said, or "as Rabbi so-and-so said." They never spoke on their own authority. It wasn't something that came out of their heads. Lord Jonathan Sacks, who was former chief rabbi of the United Hebrew Congregations, speaking about Jesus, once said, "The most important words that Jesus ever said were, 'But I say, but I say.'" And so we hear about Jesus teaching the people gathered in the synagogue, and they were amazed at his authoritative teaching. And I can just imagine him saying, "You've heard it said, but I say." And I can imagine him speaking with that quiet, compelling authority of his own, not as the scribes. Mark doesn't tell us what Jesus spoke about. But we can imagine the hush as people listen, trying to grapple with what he's saying. The conversation, after it finished, starting quietly and growing in volume as they begin to talk about what's just been said. You know, Jesus' teachings have become so familiar that I just wonder, are we sometimes tempted to listen at a superficial level? Do we need to study Jesus' teachings more deeply so we can understand, in context, the impact that he had on people of that time, and so that we can see how Jesus challenges us now, jolt us out of our comfort zone? Mark goes on to tell us that a man who was considered possessed by an unclean spirit cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus tells the spirit to be quiet and leave the man. Jesus demonstrated his authority in healing this man. And again, everyone was amazed. They questioned amongst themselves, "What is this? Is this a new teaching with authority?" You know, news travelled fast even in those days. And Mark writes that his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. It amazes me how many people who are said to be possessed by evil spirits in the Bible recognize who Jesus truly is and what his intentions are. Jesus was not only commencing his ministry in the synagogues and around that region, but he was showing the people he was prepared to join the struggle against the powers of darkness, the forces of evil and destruction. Bishop Tom Wright, my favourite theologian, describes Jesus as a human bridge with which people can cross from danger to safety, from death to life, by his outstretched arms on the cross, where demons had their final shriek at him as he hung there, mocking, taunting and challenging the validity of his authority for the last time. That day, in the synagogue at Capernaum, Jesus began the healing work that would be completed on the cross in Jerusalem. You know, some authority is given to people in certain positions. A police constable is defined as a person locally appointed but having authority under the crown to carry out specified tasks. Jesus' authority is not positional authority, it's relational authority. Philippians 2 tells us that Jesus, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Jesus' authority was relational authority. He was someone who came across as trustworthy, as caring, someone who had integrity, expertise, someone who lived the life he was talking about. He was anointed by God. He had position, but he gave that position up. He humbled himself. He became a servant. Martin Luther said, "The life of a Christian consists of possessive pronouns." Many can say, "Christ is Lord, Jesus is God." Can we say, "Christ is my Lord, Jesus is my God"? Are we prepared to sit under the authority of the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Are we prepared to give our lives to him? In these difficult times, we have a Saviour who has all authority in heaven and earth, who is true and in whom we can trust. We're not free from life's difficulties, but we're not walking this life alone. We have Jesus who walks the walk alongside us. May God bless you in your walk. And now it's time for another song that I'd like you to listen to. I think this is a beautiful song. It's from Sovereign Grace Church. It's a church that my daughter Caroline and her husband went to when they were living in New York. I'm sure many of you will have heard the tune and may know the first verse, but the subsequent verses have been written by some members of the church. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Let's listen to it now and even join in when you feel comfortable with the tune.
Jesus, we turn our eyes. to you.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We're going into a time of intercessory prayer now, and Lynn is going to pray with me. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Loving God, we thank you that you have given us the opportunity to come before you with some of our thoughts and concerns about the things going on around us. We're hearing so much bad news every day, yet we thank you for the good news of Jesus.
We come before you to pray for the world. Father, we pray for a world suffering from virus infection. Lord, it's making such a mess of so many lives. People are grieving the loss of loved ones. Some people's lives are being left wrecked by the after effects of this virus. Many have lost their jobs and are frightened about the future and how they will be able to pay their bills, buy food, and look after their children and loved ones.
On top of that, we have all the usual world problems of corrupt politicians and officials, of war and of disturbance. And we hear of those who speak out against their leaders being arrested and others who take the law into their own hands. Loving God, we pray that you would raise up godly leaders who have the best interests of their nations at heart. Bless those who work to bring peace to our world and spread the gospel of your love to all the world.
We pray for our own nation, for our government who are tasked with leading our nation in this time of virus. We pray for wisdom and understanding. We remember the opposition parties, that they might find common ground where they can work together for the greater good.
And we pray for the National Health Service, for doctors and nurses and nursing assistants and all who keep our hospitals running smoothly, the cleaners and the ancillary staff. Bless them and give them strength. We thank you for their courage. And we pray for families at home, trying to juggle work and homeschooling children and do all the other stuff that families need to do. We pray for relationships and your blessing on families.
We pray for others in society who are working hard to serve their community. Teachers working long hours for no extra pay. Shop assistants on the front line, helping to keep shelves stocked. Carers working with the elderly and less able members of our community. Those who clean our streets, take our refuge away. So many others doing low-grade jobs that are so vital to the good running of our society. Loving God, help us to truly appreciate the work that is done on our behalf to make our lives easier and be grateful.
And we pray for those who are ill in mind, body or spirit. A number of our church members are ill and need a special touch from you. We remember those who recently lost loved ones and are now living alone. We remember those who are frightened of all that's happening in this upside-down world that we're living in. And in a moment of silence, Lord, we lift up the names of those who are known to us personally.
We thank you once again that through the medium of internet technology, we can worship you together, even in our own homes. We pray for the day when we will be able to gather together to sing your praises, lift up prayers of thankfulness, and join together in fellowship in your presence. In the meantime, Lord, we lift to you our prayers of intercession. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. And so we say together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so for our final song for this service, I want you to hear a very new song released in a simple, yet I believe a beautiful recording by Bob Coughlin of Sovereign Grace Church, and his daughter singing as well. And I would like you to take note of the words. Use them as a meditation or even as a prayer for yourselves and those close and dear to you. And the final verse is an uplifting verse. It says, hands to the plough, we're pressing on and running hard to win the prize, empowered by the love of God, with grace before and grace behind. For lo, what hope before us stands. You finish all that you began. Eternal joy is in your hands and all of our tomorrows. So let's listen to that song, All of Our Tomorrows. Tomorrow. Well, it's been good to be with you this morning, and I hope you've enjoyed the service. And I just pray that the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.